It is about the individual. That's what I believe America is. Personal accountability. You know, me taking care of my own and the people that I associate with and us, you know, doing things the way I see fit. Not being dictated by some government body, by some on high. I'm not interested in that. So we're going to shift gears a little bit here, and we're going to talk about American values. What are they really? Professor Richard Ebeling here, AIER Senior Fellow and BB&T Distinguished Professor of Ethics and Free Enterprise Leadership at the Citadel. Professor, welcome back.
Great to be back with you. Thanks for having me on again.
Good to have you as always. All right, so we see these people parade around, Republicans, Democrats, all of them, talking about American values, and this is the real American, and we'll tell you what America is, and whatever that is, we're going to deliver that real American value to you. But what is an American value? What are the foundational things that we, at least at one time, believed in, Professor?
Well, what you're referring to in those opening comments is the beginning of a recent article of mine called Habits of the Heart and Character of Mind. And that phrase comes from the French social philosopher Alexis de Tocqueville, who visited the United States in the 1830s and published a famous book that's still considered a classic of political philosophy called Democracy in America. And he said that that's what he found in America, a habit of the heart and a character of the mind. And when he then elaborated on it, he said, what is unique, distinctive, special in this American experiment in free government was the fact that the people themselves strongly and persistently believed in the right of the individual to be a self-responsible human being, free to choose his own courses of action, finding meaning for his own life, deciding how best to pursue it in his own way in involuntary and peaceful association and collaboration with others. And rather than turning to the state to solve what today we call social problems, he was amazed by that whenever there was a problem in society at the local level, the state level, even the national level, people would immediately form voluntary associations, philanthropic organizations, charity associations, educational right. organizations, and pool their effort and their money and solve these freely and voluntarily and with great effectiveness. And he said, European mentioned that because so distinctly different from the Europe in which people turn to the state to solve all their problems.
So what happened to America then, Professor? Because we've had this idea, and I believe in it as well. I, as an individual, should be able to determine where I go, what path I pursue, where my resources are invested, whatever those resources may be, time and money and effort. But more and more, we have this lurching to the left, which is the antithesis of everything you just said. And it's been fairly radical and fairly recent because the individual ruggedness of America persisted through the time that I was born, for sure. It's what helped us win World War II, I believe. And here we are on the precipice of a new day where socialism seems to be taking hold in America. How did that happen?
Well, it's a long story, but the nutshell is that in the late 19th and early decades of the 20th century, there arrived an entire group of American intellectuals who had been educated in Europe for their PhD degrees in many fields. And they came back to America enveloped in this new socialist and collectivist ideology that was gaining strength in Europe, that the individual cannot care for himself. It is the duty of the state to provide cradle to grave care and support. And the belief that those in government, either appointed or elected, have the knowledge, wisdom, and ability superior to the individual himself to manage and oversee and control his life, that we cannot be trusted to make the right decisions. The experts in government must do it. That we cannot make these choices for ourselves. There are better choices that others can see transcending our narrow individual points of view. And that arrogance, that hubris, yeah. That belief that others know how to plan people's lives better than those people themselves have percolated in and permeated American society, particularly through the government-funded and provided public educational system, until it has basically been slowly but surely undermining the values upon which this country was originally founded. That doesn't mean that those elements still are not present in many Americans and in America, but they have been undermined and weakened because of the growth of these paternalistic political collectivist ideas.
And how frightening do you find that? I mean, honestly, if you find that the government is better suited to decide for you what should happen and decide how you should treat your children and how your children should be educated, what they should be taught, not what you teach them at home, but what the government deems necessary you teach them or they teach them in the public government-run, union-controlled schools. I mean, how frightening is that?
It is extremely frightening. See, I notice it as a professor. As you mentioned, I'm a professor of economics in the School of Business at the Citadel here in Charleston, South Carolina. And what I find is that every year, a new crop of students start coming onto campus, having been educated at high school at some location around the country, not just here in the Southeast. And what you discover is how little knowledge they have of history, how little knowledge they have from the high school level on the nature of the American constitutional tradition, a Bill of Rights, protecting the rights of the individual, a division of powers in the government, so there cannot be a centralization and abuse of power to benefit some at the expense of others.
It is impressive.
There's like this vacuum of amnesia of a new generation, and that has to be reversed because though that does have consequences, taking the long view, Steve.
Well, it is impressive how they can know so little about so much and be so arrogant yet. It is an impressive accomplishment to know so little about so much and yet be so incredibly arrogant, these kids. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
The importance is to recall the principles of liberty upon which the country was founded. Do not be taken in by the false promises and misguided ideas of ideologues and social engineers who want to manage your life rather than you giving you the liberty to manage your own. Freedom is the basis of the American experiment and what has made us unique among the nations of the world. Let's not lose it.
Agreed. And can I get an amen? Professor Ebling, I greatly appreciate it. Richard Ebling from the Citadel. Always a pleasure, sir, and always an education.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
It's the Steve Gruber Show.